7.
Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. On this program, we're going to expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and with economic schemes. But instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to try to explain not only why these things are happening, but what they mean to you and to those you care about. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms. We're going to examine His Torah, which means teaching, not law. And we're going to consider His covenant and the means to engage in it. If you are rational, this will be the best part of today's program. Anywhere along the line, you are encouraged to call us. You can question, criticize, or affirm anything I have to say, or just add to the conversation. Our number is 877-300-7645. To begin, there's an item that appeared way down on the priority on the news this morning. It was not an item that that was featured and that everybody is all awash in conversation about the presidential debates, which, by the way, are not debates. They are not conducted in a debate format. There is no rule of debate that is being imposed during these presidential chat sessions. And the reality is that there's only two things that matter. Yesterday we heard Obama's camp was working to make certain that the president appeared presidential. Yes, it's all about appearances. Most people are so unaware of the key issues that plague not only our country but the world. They don't understand the nature of our economy, much less the world economic system. They don't understand the nature of the religions like Islam that are perpetrating terrorist acts, nor how to defeat them. They are unaware of the fact that the Republican and Democratic parties are two sides of the same coin. They're unaware of what the real issues are relative to this nation and its survival. But the one thing they know that if your candidate looks presidential, then with unthinking people, that will be enough. The other issue that is at stake tonight is perceptions. You see, if you establish the perception that you are the underdog and the other guy is a great debater, if you just hold your own, even if you lose, but lose modestly, you'll be perceived as the winner. So it is about perceptions. It is about style. It is about appearances. It is not about content. It is not about refuting the other's claims. Moving on to actual news, this is the story that was buried that should have people very concerned. Reuters is reporting that within hours of last month's attack on U.S. diplomatic facilities in Benghazi, Libya, where three Americans were murdered, including our ambassador, President Barack Obama's administration received about a dozen intelligence reports suggesting militants, this says, connected to Al-Qaeda. They weren't connected to Al-Qaeda. They were associated with fundamentalist Islam, were involved, three government sources said. So immediately after the attack, the administration was briefed that this was an event that was orchestrated as opposed to a spontaneous outburst against the film Innocence of Muslims. However, you will note that the president, of course, blamed the movie. The Secretary of State condemned the film. And they made it sound like that this was not a planned event, but simply a spontaneous outburst to what they referred to as disgusting and hateful speech. Well, despite these reports in public statements and private meetings, top U.S. officials spent nearly 2 weeks highlighting intelligence suggesting that the attacks were spontaneous against the anti-Muslim film, while playing down the involvement of organized militant groups. So what the article is alleging here, acknowledging actually, is that the administration falsely briefed the American people and falsely briefed Congress, spending 2 weeks talking about how that attack on the U.S. embassy was not pre-planned, that there was no discernible intelligence that would have led to us increasing security for the Americans stationed there, and that it was simply a protest gone awry. Well, that turned out to be a lie. And the administration knew it was a lie during this 2 weeks that they were addressing the American people and misleading them and misleading Congress. But it was not until last Friday that Director of National Intelligence James Clapper's office issued an unusual public statement, which described how the picture that intelligence agencies presented to U.S. policymakers, this is the term, it evolved, which means they changed their story, into an acknowledgement that the attacks were, and I quote, deliberate and organized and carried out by extremists. They were not carried out by extremists, but they were deliberate. They were organized. What this does not say, but the U.S. CIA was fully aware, they were planned. Which means that everything the President of the United States told the American people, everything the Secretary of State told the American people, the way the administration briefed Congress was all a lie. The existence of the early reports appears to raise fresh questions about the Obama administration's public messaging about the attack as it seeks to fend off Republican charges that the White House failed to prevent a terrorist strike that left a U.S. ambassador and three others dead. Quote, what we're seeing now is the picture starting to develop that it wasn't a problem with intelligence that was given. It's what they did with the intelligence that they were given. This is Representative Mike Rogers, chairman of the House Representatives Intelligence Committee, is saying that this wasn't a breakdown in U.S. intelligence. It was a breakdown in the administration's and State Department's response to that intelligence that left four Americans dead. Now, beyond that, the bigger issue is, it's not just that this administration did not effectively protect its officers. It's that they lied, trying to cover up their malfeasance afterward. And that lie shifted blame from them to that silly film. When are we going to hold the president and this administration accountable, is the question. When are people going to care that they mislead on really vital issues? This is how wars begin, when you mislead the preponderance of people on vital issues. This picture is still a little fuzzy, but it's starting to come into focus. It appears that there were early, very early on, some indications that it was a jihadist attack, said the congressman. The Obama administration has strongly defended its public accounts of what happened in Benghazi and said its understanding has evolved as additional information came in. Well, this administration came into this administration. This information came in within hours of the attack. It did not evolve. It has not changed. And they have not contradicted. They have not admitted that they lied, that they misled the American people. They knew the truth early on, and they chose to lie instead because the lie made them look better. This is the new public lie. Now that they have been caught, rather than admitting they have been caught, this is what the administration is saying. At every step along the way, this administration has based its public statements on the best assessments that were provided by the intelligence community. As the intelligence community learned more information, they updated Congress and the American people on it. The White House spokesman, Jay Kerry, lied. None of that is true. None of that is true. It's all a lie. So this administration has chosen to fight a lie with a lie. It's not true. They knew the truth. They chose to lie. And now they're lying when they tell you that they didn't know the truth in a timely fashion, that they were reporting what they knew. If you don't care about this, and you know, the timing of information and then the public declarations about what happened when U.S. embassies are attacked and Americans are murdered, including our ambassador. If this kind of stuff where we had advance notice, we did nothing to protect our people, and then once they were killed, we created a false premise that we knew was false at the time. To say that their killing had to do with a movie, trailer, produced by an amateur, as opposed to malfeasance by this administration. And they've continued to lie about it. This article now is as the spy agencies trying to defend themselves, saying, unless you have very good reports that strongly suggest who is behind the attack, for sure it's prudent to be careful, because placing emphasis publicly, even tentatively, on any group or groups too soon can lead everyone down the wrong path. In other words, okay, so we had all this information, but we don't want people to know what happened, because that would lead them down the wrong path, as opposed to blaming a movie that had nothing to do with it, as if that didn't lead them down the wrong path. Yes, Scott.
I was going to say that if that's their protocol, to where they wait to wait to have all the facts and everything like that, then how come there's these stories of us bombing random villages and stuff, trying to find somebody and killing we just don't kill the target that we were originally trying to kill.
Or what did we learn from Pearl Harbor, where we had all sorts of advance notice and did nothing, and then used the attack that we are responsible for allowing to happen to declare war? We learned nothing from history? I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're going to continue a little more with this story, and then we have Richard from Washington State on the line, who will join us momentarily. This article continues to say that the officials familiar with the evidence that was provided by intelligence agencies said that those reports, which were delivered to the White House within hours of the killings, contained evidence that members of the militant faction Ansar al-Sharia, this would be Friends of Sharia Law, were involved in the assaults. This report did not claim, nor did it allege, that the attacks were a reaction to the anti-Muslim film. And yet that is what the President of the United States said. He lied. He knew the truth, and he chose to lie instead. One official said the initial reporting suggested that the militants began planning the attacks on U.S. targets in Benghazi long before September 11th, and that they decided to use the protests as cover for the attack. And what did the United States do? What did this administration do? It advanced their cover. It aided and abetted the pretext, the cover, that Ansar al-Sharia had planned to use. It's disgusting. Whose side is the President of the United States on? Yet, On September 15th, administration officials, relying on what they said was other information from intelligence agencies, circulated to members of Congress a set of talking points prepared by the CIA that purported to summarize what the U.S. knew. This is what they said. The current available information suggests that the demonstrations in Benghazi were spontaneously inspired by the protests at the U.S. Embassy in Cairo and evolved to a direct assault against the U.S. diplomatic protest in Benghazi and subsequently its annex. Those protests, of course, in Cairo at the U.S. Embassy were the first over the film trailer, Innocence of Muslims. So knowing the truth, the President of the United States created talking points that were purposefully, deliberately dishonest. It is this kind of thing that gets America into wars. For example, the Wilson's declaration about the Lusitania. He knew at the time that he had planned it to be sunk, and yet he used it as the pretext for war. When we were involved in the Gulf of Tonkin incident, LBJ knew it was a lie, and yet he used it as the pretext for war. When George W. Bush was president, and he knew for certain that the yellowcake uranium purchase that became the pretext for invading Iraq was a lie, didn't prevent him from stating that lie in front of Congress. We use lies like this to deceive, to create false illusions that lure our country into patriotic wars. That said, I'd like to hear from Richard. He is calling from Washington State, wants to speak about the Obama administration. Hello, Richard.
Morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I watched a video on YouTube of an interview with then-Senator Barack Obama, where he plainly stated that if push came to shove, he would support Muslims, Islam. So I don't know why this is a surprise to people that that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, you know, Richard, I have not heard Obama say that. I have read excerpts that are misquoted from The Audacity of Hope, Obama's book. And there are segments of that book that I have seen misquoted on the internet to suggest that Obama would side with Islam over the interests of the United States if push came to shove. But I have not heard him say that himself. What you're saying is that you listened to an interview of Obama and saw and heard him actually say those words?
That is true. It blew me away. I thought, good heavens, we voted, Americans voted for this guy. And yes, he plainly said that.
He's
still a senator.
Yeah, it's clear that, and unfortunately we've come to the end of this segment, but we'll return to this topic at the bottom of the hour. It is clear that this president sympathizes with Muslims and is willing to lie on their behalf. This is one more proof, blaming a Christian for the attack on this on the U.S. Embassy. We'll return to this subject in a moment. I'm Yada. This Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yana. During the break, I spent just a moment, as did our crack producer, Scott, to look up this particular issue. Is one that Richard made, where he has heard Obama say prior to the time that he was president, that should the winds shift in an ugly direction, that he would stand with Muslims. This is the actual quote from the book Audacity of Hope. It's from page 261. I have not yet read it. I just found it the moment the music began to play. So let's see if, in fact, that is what he said. It reads, "Of course, not all of my conversations in immigrant communities follow this easy pattern. In the wake of 9/11, my meetings with Arab and Pakistani Americans, for example, have a more urgent quality. For the stories of detentions and FBI questioning and hard stares from neighbors have shaken their sense of security and belonging." Now, of course, what he did not say here is there's a reason that, and that has nothing to do with their race being Arab or Pakistani. It has all to do with the fact that any American with half a brain has been able to connect Islam to the suicide bombings of 9/11. As a result, if you are overtly Muslim, you're going to be associated with those terrorist attacks. In addition, most Americans recognize that 99.99% of terrorist attacks today are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims. So if you are a Muslim, you are automatically suspect. It is the only rational and informed response. That's what it means to be discerning. Anyway, the quote continues from his book. "They have been reminded that the history of immigration in this country has a dark underbelly. They need specific assurances that their citizenship really means something." Now, he's speaking about Muslims here. "That America has learned the right lessons from the Japanese internments during World War II. And that I will stand with them should the political winds shift in an ugly direction." So he is saying here that he will stand with Muslims. He is identifying the Arab and Pakistani Americans. And he's not using Arab to mean a race. He is speaking of a religion, Islam. So he is saying, "I will stand with them should the political winds shift in an ugly direction." Guilty as charged. It's what he wrote. "I will stand with them," speaking of Muslims, "should the political winds shift in an ugly direction." There you have it, folks. That's I read that directly from a website that calls itself factcheck.org. Something horribly wrong with that. Now, mind you, you can issue a defense for this lying president by saying that he was only speaking of protecting Muslim Americans, standing with Muslim Americans, if non-Muslim Americans were to hold Islam responsible for the terrorist attacks that continually are perpetrated against our nation. But I'm not sure that's any better. He's told you what side he is on. Richard, any concluding comments on that?
Yes. The fact that he has not come out and asked the question, how does an organized mob, specifically organized for the purpose of committing murder, how does that become unrest? You know, why hasn't he come out and challenged that? Said, this is not unrest. This is an attack on the United States of America by Muslims. The fact that you don't do that proves the truth of what you just read to me.
That's correct. It does. I am agreeing with you. The reality is that you combined that statement with the fact that this administration knew that Ansar al-Sharia, which is Friends of Sharia Law, therefore fundamentalist Muslims, carried out a premeditated attack using very powerful weapons that they had planned long before the attack occurred, and that the purpose was to murder Americans in the embassy. And that this administration lied, to create the impression that this attack was the result of a movie trailer, that it was spontaneous, and it was as a response to a Christian movie that he called disgusting, when in fact that was not the case. That was an overt lie, and the president knew it and continued to promote the lie. I don't know how you can...
Mitt Romney, will his camp or the Bell allow his camp to say to question that?
No, you know, I think that while Mitt Romney may, bolstered by this information, might bring it up, the reality is that Mitt Romney is afraid to discuss this subject. You know, when we were in the presidential race for the nomination, Newt Gingrich did something that is characteristic of him but uncharacteristic of politicians. He told the truth about the so-called Palestinians. He called them a mythical people. And he says that if you don't understand the history of Judea and Samaria, and you don't understand the reason why the Palestinian people have been promoted as a myth, then you have no hope of effectively dealing with that problem. And when he said that, Mitt Romney had a tizzy fit and condemned Newt Gingrich for making that statement. What Newt Gingrich said was absolutely true. So Mitt Romney put himself in a very difficult position as a result. Second, when Mitt Romney came out and said that it was inappropriate of the president to condemn this movie for causing the attack on the U.S. Embassy, and the president just absolutely lambasted him for demeaning this administration for blaming this attack on the movie as opposed to the Islamic fundamentalists, he again cowered. So it appears to me that Mitt Romney either isn't well enough informed to make bold statements and back them up as it relates to Islam and this administration's willingness to lie, or he has no backbone, he has no commitment to stand up and do the right thing and say the right thing, no matter what the consequence is. Or three, and I suspect it's this, that this man thinks that Obama is viewed as likable by the undecided, by the moderates in America, and that he thinks that if he overtly criticizes him and calls him a liar, that by calling the president a liar and speaking in hateful and harsh terms about a man who is genuinely liked, or to some degree liked, or at least perceived to be liked by moderates, that he will hurt his presidential chances. It's one of those three. But I do not think that Mitt Romney... Yeah, I don't think that Mitt Romney is well informed on this subject. In fact, I'm sure he is not.
He's a Mormon, okay?
Yeah, if you were really informed on Islam, you wouldn't be a Mormon, because what you would see in Islam is Mormonism. And you would, the more you understand Islam, the more you understand Mormonism and come to understand that both are complete and utter frauds. And so you can't be an informed, rational person and be a Muslim. You can't be an informed and rational Mormon. It's impossible. It is literally impossible to be a rational and informed Mormon or Muslim. And so I do think he is ignorant on these subjects and not discerning or rational. That concerns me a great deal. And so, in this election, like every other election, we have the choice of the lesser of two evils. And I'm not sure which one here is the lesser of two evils. I think that in terms of evil, both of these men are extreme manifestations of all that is wrong with the human institutions in America, specifically.
Well, I agree with you, brother, and I won't keep you anymore, but yeah, I agree with you. Nothing to do is going to save this country. It's a goner.
Yeah, the country is a goner, and we don't say that to remove hope. I know people love to have their ears tickled, and they love optimistic banter, and we do have optimistic banter. It's not banter. It happens to be the witness of the very creator of the universe. There is individual optimism. God has offered us a means to engage in a relationship with Him, to perfect us, to enable us to become immortal, to survive these human institutions that are so evil and so corrupting. And so there is individual hope. There just is no national hope. We have taken America way too far down the road of no return and are in a death spiral, economically, politically, morally, educationally. Doesn't matter which way you look at it. We're way beyond hope in this regard. Well, Richard, thank you for calling. I'm going to move on to another story, but as you know, I concur with what you have just said. Thank you for bringing up the point, and I'm glad that we did our fact check and found out that what you said was true.
Yeah, but
moving on to another story. Pope Benedict, just this past week, called on, this is unbelievable, on Christians, Muslims, and Jews. So Pope Benedict called on Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Now, he's not speaking of Jews as a race. He's speaking, since it's Christians, religion, Muslims, religion, Jews, he's speaking of it as being the Jewish religion, Judaism, to, in his terms, to root out religious fundamentalism. Now, think about that. Roman Catholicism is perhaps the most, well, it is, not perhaps, it is the most fundamentalist form of Christianity. If Christians were to root out religious fundamentalism, they would have to start with Roman Catholicism. What is it that causes people to make such statements? Back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yana. Before we continue with this Pope's comment telling the world's religious that they should root out religious fundamentalism, which, by the way, is a good idea. Why don't we start with Roman Catholicism? I do want to return to fact check and the statement that permeated the web not too awful long ago that the president said and wrote in Audacity of Hope that should the winds change in a negative direction, that he would side with Muslims. That's an accurate question. That's an accurate statement. You know, them is referring to the Arab and Pakistani Americans. Now, there is no way to distinguish between a non-religious Arab and a Jew. Jews weren't concerned over 9/11. This said, in the wake of 9/11, my meetings with Arab and Pakistani Americans, for example, have a more urgent quality. So we're associating 9/11 with Arabs. Now, an Arab that's not a Muslim, Christian Muslim, wouldn't be concerned about 9/11. No issue to them. Secular, Arab, no concern with 9/11. Pakistani, no concern. You couldn't tell a Pakistani from an Indian. And the Indians, they're not concerned. The only rational conclusion that can be drawn from this statement is that them represents Muslims. And that he said, I will stand with them should the political winds shift in an ugly direction. Clear. Unequivocal. That's what he said. It's wrong. This president had an enormous influence over the revolution that is nothing more than an Islamic reformation that took place in Egypt and made that country an American enemy, that took place in Libya and made that country an American enemy. That is taking place in Syria, which will make that country ever more an enemy of the United States. Anyway, Pope Benedict, returning to that story, said that religious fundamentalism seeks to take power for political ends, at times using violence over the traditional conscience and over religion. Now, the Pope said, no. Imagine that religious fundamentalism, he's saying, will seek power over religion. Oh, wait a minute. If you're a religious fundamentalist, your primary motivation is your religion. You can't. The end of the statement is irrational. But let's look at the most power-hungry, politically power-hungry, religious organization in human history. The Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church began their lust for power with Constantine's satanic revelation, where he saw the sign of the pagan cross superimposed in front of his God, the sun, and then heard, under this sign, conquer. And he made it this new religion, this Catholic Christian religion, the official politicized religion of Rome. There has been no religious organization in human history that has worked harder to create a link between cleric and king that allows both to rule without opposition, without individual conscience, at times being incredibly violent, torturous, sadistic, than Roman Catholicism. You want to root out this religious fundamentalism that seeks power for political ends at time using violence? Call an end to Roman Catholicism, Pope. He then says, all religious leaders in the Middle East should endeavor by their example and by their teaching to do everything possible to uproot this threat. Good. Start by looking in the mirror. Take off your stupid Dagon fish hat. Get rid of your arrogant ring. Toss away the staff. Take off your fancy robes and admit that you're a fraud. Because it fatally affects believers. We'll speak to how Roman Catholicism fatally affects believers when we return in a moment. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
This is Steve Schultz, and you've been hearing top radio personalities talk about longevity and how...